Hey, this is Andrea, and you're listening to the City Heart Podcast. We hope that this series inspires you, challenges you, and propels you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Look, I'm not going to prolong the time. We're going to go ahead and jump into the Word. I really don't have any announcements to announce today outside of youth. That was the only one. But since we're here, I want to let you know that we're kicking off a new series today, and I was telling our prayer team, who praises me before every message, I was telling them that I didn't recognize it until I was starting to prepare over the last 2 weeks for the message today, and I didn't realize how much God was actually giving me a vision series for the church. And so I want to let you know, really, over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be laying out the vision, really, for the next 5 years of City Heart Church. And so if you're here in the room or if you're watching us at home, don't miss. Because it's just so important to what the Lord wants to do in this ministry. And so I'm asking you, if you're a part of this church, if this is where you attend, if this is where you go, if you consider me your pastor, I'm asking you not to miss, including today, these next 6 weeks, especially if you're at home. If you're at home and you haven't ventured out yet, you got your vaccination, but you haven't come, this is the time to start coming back. It's time. Can I just say that? It's time. If you've gotten your vaccination or you feel safe, you can go to the grocery store, you can go to everywhere else, it's time to come back to the house of God. Can I get amen on that one?
Amen.
All right. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody upset. If you are genuinely afraid, I get that. But we don't live in fear. God has given us he's given us power and love and a sound mind. So we don't live in fear. We are not timid or afraid. Now, if you're just home because you're just home, that's another question. You definitely need to come, right? But I don't want to offend anybody. If you are genuinely kind of concerned, I fully get that. But we've taken measures to separate chairs and to thermometer check and to allow you to wear masks and to do everything that we can on our end. It's time to come back. And especially over these next 6 weeks, as we lay out the vision of this ministry, I want us to be in tune, because I believe that there is something in this for everybody. There's something in this for every single person. And I don't want us to miss what God is trying to speak to us. And so I'm asking you to be here and to attend. And so we're starting a new series today. And that series is called Home. It's called Home. Series is called Home. And so if you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read in verse 19. And as you know, if you've been to City Heart or if you watch us online at any point, you know that I put all my notes in the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. You can certainly check that out. Please go in there and kind of look in there and see what my notes are. If you go to More and Events, you just type in City Heart. My information will pop up there, the information for the church, and you can see I put it in there so that you can study on your own during the week, because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to actually go and study and look at it for yourself to see exactly what the Lord is speaking to you. And so please take advantage of that. And then the podcast, which is on Apple and iTunes and all the other stuff that you can get a podcast on, we're on everything. Go ahead and if you do miss, make sure that you catch up, because I need you to, in this series, the Lord has waited on me so heavy in this series that we all need to be in tune for what the Lord is going to speak in this. And so let's turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 19, and then we'll check out one of the passage in that as well. Ephesians 2 verse 19 reads like this. It says, consequently. Everybody say that word, consequently. Yeah, consequently. This is one we don't say all the time. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So important. Leave something there in Ephesians 2. We're going to come back to that. But I want to check out one more passage here, and that's in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1 there. Hebrews chapter 3 in verse 1. And it kind of tags on. It's not really connected in scripture, but in principle, it's connected here. And it says then, therefore. When you read therefore, you should ask yourself, what is it therefore? I really feel like it's almost connected to this Ephesians verse. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Thank you, Lord. Verse 5 says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we, everybody say we. Tap your chest and say we. We are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. We're starting this series, this home series out with a message entitled, You're Welcome. Home, you're welcome. Bow your heads, let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, it's a day that you have made and we rejoice and we're glad in it. And we are so thankful and grateful for the opportunity that we have to come into your presence and to experience a move of God. Lord, for any time we come into your presence, there's an opportunity for transformation. There's an opportunity for life change. There's an opportunity for us to experience you. And so, Lord, I pray, God, because of this opportunity that we've been presented, Lord, that you would help us to take advantage of that experience. Help us to move closer in our relationship with you. Help us to tear down the walls of separation that have kept us divided from your word and from your will and from your way. Lord, move us into a sincere connection in relationship with you, that we might experience all the abundance of blessing that you have provided for us, all the richness of wisdom that comes from your word, and the protection and guidance that you give us as the Lord and Savior of our lives. We thank you and we give you the glory for who you are. We count ourselves privileged and blessed because of it. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we all say together, amen. Home, you're welcome. I love that word that comes up at the top of that verse in Ephesians, consequently. As I said, it's a word we don't say too often, but really, as I was reflecting on this message, I recognized that we are living the consequence of the cross. We are living in the consequence of the cross and of the consequences of the cross, of Jesus's life and Jesus's death and his resurrection, that the symbolism of that, the significance of the debt that he paid on our behalf by giving his life for us and his resurrection. That we are living in the consequences of that. What is that? The consequences of what Jesus did is that we have access to God. That through Christ and all that he's done, he has given us access to God. The word tells us that the veil in the temple was torn in two. And that was no easy feat. The veil that used to sit in the temple was actually about 3 inches thick and was over 20 feet high. Imagine trying to tear that. But through Christ, that veil was torn that separated us from the very presence of God. And we have access to God because of Christ. And we also share together the benefit of that consequence with others. That access to God. That access to all that he provides for every single one of us. We have access to that. And so this week, as I was reflecting on just the enormous magnitude, and I started to think about just my own life and the enormous magnitude of what Jesus did, his actions for me, for my janky, messed up, tired up self, and all the nasty and awful things that I've done in my life. And the fact that Christ went to the cross on my behalf, that he thought me and deemed me worthy of taking on my sin and taking on pain for me. When I started to think about that, of his actions, this question came to my mind. How do we adequately respond to what Jesus did? How do we do it? How do we adequately respond to what Jesus did? What's our response to that? There's a singer who was very famous when I was coming up, gospel singer, but he also sang a lot of crossover music. His name was Andre Crouch. He's an amazing man of God, a beautiful musician. He wrote for so many people and wrote so many songs that you know, but don't realize that he wrote them. But he used to sing this song, and I remember singing it in the church when we grew up, and it was, "To God be the glory." And the first verse is so beautiful, and he kind of lays out the question that we're asking today. And he says this, he says, "How do I say thanks?" Some of y'all know this before I even sing it. "How do I say thanks for all the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me." He goes on to say, "The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you." And so when you think of that question, I immediately thought of that verse. The song just kind of rushed back into my mind of thinking, you know what? When I think about what Christ did for me, literally a million angels could not express. It couldn't even come close to expressing how much that I want to say. That the words, we've been saying it earlier, that thank you. So I say thanks to God. Even the words thank you don't seem like enough. And I that's what I want to say. Lord, thank you so much for doing that for me. But thank you doesn't seem adequate. And it's because it's not. And so our only response really is the chorus to the song. And the chorus says simply, "To God be the glory." Thank you just doesn't do it. So I have to say, you know what? To God be the glory. In everything that I will ever do and I will ever accomplish, to God be the glory. In everything that I've ever gone through or have ever faced in my life that he's pulled me out of kicking and screaming, to God be the glory. Through what I say and what I think and where I go and what I do, to God be the glory. This isn't just a statement of gratitude. This is actually a lifestyle. That statement, "To God be the glory," really should be how we live. Every fiber of your being should be saying, to God be the glory. Every single thing that you do should be walked out and lived in a way that says, you know what? To God be the glory. How I live, how I carry myself should live out the words, to God be the glory. And if it's not living up to that, it's not something that I want to express in my life. If God is not glorified in everything that I do or in a specific thing that I do, then it's not something that I should be doing. If God's glory is not lived out in the relationships that I have, in who I conversate with or connect with or live with or work with, or in what I produce or in how I live or in where I go or in what I say or in what I think or in what I scroll through on my phone, if it does not give God the glory, then it should not be a part of my life. Because really, I should be doing everything I can to respond to everything that he did. And so my life has to be lived in a way who I'm determined to be has to just even just begin, if it can just scratch the surface of what he's done, then that's what I need to be doing. God needs to be glorified in every single way in our lives. I don't want to do anything but give him the glory. That lifestyle decision reflects our willing belief and submission to the power, the will, and the authority of God that has been made accessible to us through Jesus Christ, his Son, in our daily lives. And so rather than living selfishly for ourselves and solely for my personal gratification, I'm actually making a decision to live my life to bring glory to God and to live in connection with those around me who are trying to do the same. Living what he built. To God be the glory, living that way, taking on that lifestyle, is putting yourself in the position of being home. That's what it means to be home. It's to be living completely and fully for God. And living completely and fully for those around me and with those around me, fulfilling what God has provided for us in our lives. That's home. That's what home is. And that's what Christ built. And that's what he's asked of those of us who follow him, is that we would make him our home, that we would make that purpose our place, our home. Ephesians 2:22 says, in him, you too, you also are being built together. You're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God cannot live in a place that is not glorifying him. God cannot live in a place that does not match who he is. And that's why the Lord is calling us to a different level. He is calling us home. He's calling us back to a place and to a lifestyle where he is glorified through every single cell, mitochondria, DNA in our lives, down to the molecular level in our lives. He is calling us to glorify him in everything that we do. Y'all don't know I knew science like that, right? little earth science there for you. No, I'm taking it back. But that's what he's calling us to. And there is a dwelling place in God for us through Christ. What does home look like? It's a dwelling place in God for us through Christ. And also a dwelling in us for God by his Spirit. And what we're seeing there, it's a mutual agreement. It's a covenant between God and us. And you see this walked out through the word several times, right? There's an Abrahamic covenant. He makes a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham isn't even worthy to be in the covenant himself. So God does all the work. And I feel like this is a moment right now for some of you. God is calling you into a covenant with him where you live in God and he lives in you. And everything that doesn't match up with that is not welcome. But what we're saying to God is, Lord, you're welcome in me. Because through Christ, God has shown us that we are welcome in him. What was Christ doing? He was saying, you're welcome. You're welcome into the family, into the presence, into the body of Christ, into the glory of God. He was saying, you are welcome no matter what condition you were in, no matter what you've done or what you've been through, you are welcome. No matter what lifestyle you lived before, no matter where you went before or what you did that was so low down and dirty that if we opened up the book, you'd want to close it right back. The Lord is saying, that doesn't matter. You are welcome because of what Christ has done. And so it's our job now to say, you know what, Lord, I want to welcome you in me. And I know in order to do that, that I have to make sure that I am a place where you are glorified. That I have to be a place where you are desired. The word welcome comes from an old English word, wilkuma, that says you are a desired guest. That's what welcome is. That's what the actual word means, that you are a desired guest. And sometimes we use the phrase, you know what, I welcome that. I welcome that, meaning that we deem something to be agreeable, right? If I welcome that, something that it's agreeable, it's pleasing to me. I welcome some cheesecake every now and again. I welcome, y'all don't know, Woodsy makes a mean lemonade. I welcome that all the time, right? I welcome that on an amazing basis. Like, it is agreeable, and trust me, it's pleasing to me, right? I welcome that. PK, what are you saying? I'm saying that by accepting and believing God's word and believing and accepting the finished work of Christ, you're welcome home. That you are welcome home. By faith in Jesus Christ, God is also welcome at home in you. That you are saying with your life that God is a desired guest. Lord, I want, come on in, Lord. I want you to live in me. And having him abide in you is agreeable and pleasing to you. That, Lord, you living on the inside of me is not something that I'm trying to hide from or run from or reject, but rather, Lord, I'm saying, look, come abide in me. Make a confession. I was watching some Iron Man this week. And one of my favorite ones is when the suit actually does the work for itself and it can open up and he can just kind of step into the suit. That's when it gets good. And I feel like we should be opening up in that same way. And where the Lord can just step right in and he fits like a glove in our lives. And that can only happen if we take everything else out that does not fit with him, that he's able to walk into our lives in that way. Ephesians 2:19, read it earlier. How can God do this? It's because of the consequence that we talked about earlier, right? And what is the consequence, right? Consequently, because of Christ's actions, what happens? You are no longer foreigners and strangers. I don't know about you, but I don't let too many foreigners and strangers in my home. People I don't know. I'm not gonna just gonna let anybody walk in my house. But the same way, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. What does this mean? It's not just that the Lord lives in my life, but that actually all of us who benefit from the consequences of what Christ did, that joined together, we actually are making and building something together that's stronger than even just what I can do individually. And what I can do is powerful. But when I can connect with some other people who are doing the same thing, who are living the same way, who are making the same decision to give glory to God, then actually we are building something even greater. We're building a temple for the Lord, a holy temple, and we rise together. What's being built is the church. The consequences of what Christ did, and that being seen in us, is that the church is being built. The body of Christ, our home, is being built. And it's centered on, sustained through, and continuously growing in us through our knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another. Colossians 1:17 says this, says, he is before all things, referring to Christ. And in him, all things hold together. And speaking of Christ, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, that he might have first place, that he might have lordship and authority in our lives. What this verse lets us know is that Christ actually is in the middle, that he is what carries the weight, that he is the focus of the church. That's the way it's supposed to be. That Christ is the focus of the church, that he's the head, but we are the body. All of us, individually and also collectively, are the body of Christ. And so what that means for us is that we should welcome that feeling of home. Jesus is home. And so we should welcome that feeling of home. We should desire everything associated with home. And you know what you want your home to feel like. I mean, your personal house, right? We all know what we want our home to feel like. We want home to feel a certain way. We want to click our heels. There's no place like home. There's no place, right? We all know what that feels like. We all want a little bit of Joanna Gaines in our house to make it feel, come on, y'all, somebody get with me, right? You want it to feel a certain way. We want home to feel a certain way. And God does also. Let me show you from the word. And the Lord showed me this passage, and I thought, Lord, man, you're just so good. It's just so amazing. But he showed me that he knows what home should feel like. So it's not just something that we think on our own, but actually he knows exactly what home should be, and he wants us to know the same thing. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 32. Man, when the Lord gave this to me, I was like, wow, Lord, you really, the word is just always good. It's just always amazing, right? Isaiah 32 verse 16 says this. It says, the Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness lives in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. Though hail flattens the forest and the city is leveled completely, how blessed you will be, sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free. Wow. Wow. Right? Home is supposed to be a place of justice, of fertility, of peace and quietness, and where you feel the most confident. Home is supposed to be a peaceful dwelling place, a secure place, a place of undisturbed rest. That even though everything else around home is falling apart, everything around home is being torn up, I'm still being blessed because I'm home. Sowing seed by every stream. What does that mean? That means everything that I literally put out, my finance will be blessed. My kids will be blessed. But every stream, and then all that stuff can run free. What this lets me know is God knows what home is supposed to be. You know what's also supposed to be this way? The church. And we think of home, right? But our church home is supposed to be the same way. Our church home is supposed to be a place where we understand what justice is, that it is fertile, that it is a place of peace and quietness and confidence, that we know of it as a peaceful dwelling place where we can be, that it is secure, that it is an undisturbed place of rest, that even though everything else around us is going crazy and everything else is being left and canceled out, that our church home will be blessed. And it's where we find freedom. That's what a home is supposed to look like. That's what a church home is supposed to look like. Well, PK, man, that sounds exactly like what I desire in a home. That's exactly what I want. And if you can have Joanna Gaines, just put some shiplap on top of that, man. It'd just be all amazing, right? Right, and that sounds like what we want, especially a church home, but if we're honest, that hasn't always been all of our experience with church. Can I get an amen right there? I can say it. And that's why many don't have a church home. There was a statistic or a report that ran within the last 2 weeks that said the U.S., for the first time, has less than 50% of people that attend church, that consider themselves connected to a body, a religious body, whether that be Christian or otherwise. And it got me thinking, right, how we feel about church. And that for many people, all the things that we read in Isaiah, that's not what they associate with a church. They associate something that's completely different. And I've even heard people say this statement, I love Jesus, but not the church. You ever heard somebody say that? Right? I love Jesus and I'm all about God, but not the church. And as Christians, we can bristle, right, a little bit when we hear people say that. But, you know, and even me, I've been in church my entire life, but I understand where they're coming from. I understand why. It's because in their heart of hearts, they feel like, you know what? Church people have failed me. Church people have failed me. Church systems have failed me. Church culture has failed me. Church politics has failed me. Church leaders have failed me. Even church services, if they're powerless and lacking, have failed you. And this statement lets me know that people lack understanding of the importance of the church to Jesus. I think sometimes we feel like we can separate the two. But it also tells me that the church has failed in explaining the importance of people to Jesus and his church. how much people actually mean to the church, those that are especially far away. How sometimes we, man, as being a church, we've just missed the mark on people. We have failed people and turned against people and ostracized people. And it's because the body of Christ, the church, in many ways, has removed Jesus as the chief cornerstone of the church. And in doing so, we've taken away the central thing that makes church a welcoming place in the first place. Because we've taken Jesus out, we've actually taken out the thing that makes it welcoming. We've taken out the thing that makes people even want to come to church. We've taken them completely out. And with him went that welcoming environment, that life-giving environment went away because we took Jesus out. And when people come, they only see failed systems and failed people and failed leaders and failed services, and they're not seeing Jesus. And so they're unable to reap and understand the consequences that they actually live in and that they're actually supposed to be designed to be walking in themselves because we've taken Jesus out as the chief cornerstone of the church. But for anybody who's ever felt that way, who's felt like church has failed you, and I've been there, I want you to know and hear my heart that you can't separate Jesus from the church, that they are one in the same, that he is, as the word says, the head. And even though people have taken him out, he is still the chief cornerstone. He is still what the church is supposed to be about. He is still what home is supposed to be. And so instead, our statement should be this: to love Jesus is to love his church. If you love Jesus, then you have to love his church with every intricacy, with every quirk, with all the weirdness and the failure. To love Jesus is to love his church. And Jesus has never failed you. And so even as the church, our focus should be drawing people back to him. Hebrews 10:19 says this. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, since we've reaped the consequences of what Christ did by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, since Jesus is the cornerstone, then the word tells us, let us draw near to God. Come home. Come home with a sincere heart and full with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So everything that has been associated with who we are in the past, he's saying, I'm taking that away. And I want you to take that away. And it tells us, let us hold unswervingly. What does that mean? That means we're not turning to the right or to the left. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What we're supposed to be doing is living and communicating the glory of God in our life. We are supposed to be living in our bodies the consequences of what Jesus went to the cross for and why he was resurrected. not just in our own lives, but we're supposed to be doing that together, spurring one another on in this home that is all of us collectively as the body of Christ, that you understand your position in the body, that you understand your calling in the body, that you understand your place in the body, and that now you are creating the welcoming environment. Now you are the person that's opening the door and saying, you're welcome home. That responsibility now falls to you. It's not just on Jesus. He's done his work. His work is done, but it has fallen to us, his body, his church, his home, to not give up on meeting together, but to continue spurring one another on and encouraging one another to continue to live the lifestyle that we're called to. To love Jesus is to be his church. It's not just to love his church, but it's actually to take it on for yourself, taking on the responsibility of being present and being active and being generous. My wife and I used to have this saying, I'm almost done. My wife and I used to have this saying when we first started this ministry. And there were some lonely days at the beginning, if I'm honest with you. There were some days where people didn't show up. There were some days, a lot of people didn't show up. There were some days where we felt defeated. I could preach a whole message and feel completely defeated at the end of a message. Can I just be honest with you? There were some days where I would leave off the stage and I would go to a room and I would cry. And we used to have this saying in the early days, are we the crazy ones? Now, the truth is, yes, we're a little crazy. We always say, man, to plant a church, you got to be just a little bit crazy. And to continue to do this, to bring people together and to have a church in Jackson, Mississippi, that's diverse. That's politically diverse and culturally diverse and is free to worship God in the way that we do with freedom, believing in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we are the crazy ones. I recognize that. What we were also saying is that, man, maybe we're the crazy ones, that we're the only ones that understand and believe this concept of what home is, of what God has called us to do. That we're the only ones that, man, it feels like that, right? You feel like Elijah, right? You feel like, Lord, am I the last one? Is it just me? And the Lord's like, no, it's not just you. But actually, there's a remnant of people who have made the decision as well to say, I'm going to live this in my life. And I'm not going to let the home of Christ, his church, his body fail, because the responsibility is on me now. And it's not just my pastor anymore, but it's all of us taking on that responsibility. It's all of us saying we are supposed to be the church. And we're supposed to provide a home for those that will come who don't understand the consequences of what Christ did. The church is not a building, but the church is his people choosing to meet together to give glory to God and to bring glory to God by bringing even more people into his loving arms, to spur someone else on and to say to someone else and through our actions, you know what? You're welcome. Just as Christ did, hanging on the cross, nails in his hand and in his feet, crown in his head, buried in the grave and getting back up, he literally was saying with his very existence to all of us who did not deserve what he did, who didn't deserve to step foot into a relationship with him, he said, you know what? You're welcome. You're welcome. I welcome you in. And that leads us to that verse we read earlier. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in this heavenly calling, if that's you, it tells us to fix our thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. And Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. And Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what will be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and hope in which we glory. You're welcome home because Christ is faithful to make you feel welcome. No matter where you are today, you're welcome. You are welcome at home in him. You are a desired guest. Having you abide in him, in his body, having you be his church is agreeable and pleasing to him. Home, the body of Christ, the church, being the church, that's a lifestyle decision. It's not just a Sunday decision. It's an every day of the week decision. It's a lifestyle decision that reflects our willing belief and submission to the power, to the will, to the authority of God, accessible to us through his Son in our daily lives. So rather than living selfishly and just for ourselves and for our own personal gratification, we are determined to live a life that brings glory to God and live in connection with one another. To live what he built. We are home. And I'm saying to each and every one of us today, welcome home. You're welcome home. And this home that we're determined to build together, this home that I'm asking you to be a part of, to be connected to help build in every single way, it is Christ. It's him in every way. And all I can do is ask you is to give glory to God, to give thanks to God, as we sang earlier. I don't know where you are today, if you've made being a part of the church your lifestyle, or if church is just a Sunday kind of, I come when I feel like it, I don't come when I don't thing. But what God wanted to do is actually at a different level. It was at a higher clip. And I feel like we're all being called into that. And what we're trying to do with this church right here, this local body of Christ, is something that I want you to be a part of. But even better than this local body, the body of Christ, being connected to him, living that lifestyle is something that you really should be doing, because everything that you know about home is found here. Bow your heads, let me pray for you.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you want to hear more about this series or learn more about our church, check us out at cityheartjackson.com or follow us online at cityheartjxn.